Psalm 105 this evening. Psalm 105. I want you to read this whole psalm, and I don't believe I'll take time to read it tonight, but great, great language. I guess we better. Let's look at Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, O ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Even though they were taken into various captivities, he protected his sheep. Now, many died, but not his people, not until it was time, and only exactly as he prescribed. Men can't touch what God has given us and done for us. They can kill this body, but they're just doing us a favor when they do that. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. Verse 17, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. He spake, and there came divers sorts of flies and lice in all their coasts. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines also and their fig trees, and brake the trees of their coasts. He spake, and the locusts came, and caterpillars, and that without number, and did eat up all the herbs of their land, in their land, and devoured the fruit of their ground. He smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. He gave them the strength they needed for the journey. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river, for he remembered his holy promise. He did all of this for them because he promised them. He made a covenant with Abraham his servant, and he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. All of these things God did for his people. You keep in mind his chosen, Jacob, his sheep, his elect. And the psalm starts this way: give thanks. Thank God for all that he has done. Israel had a history, and so do you. How has God dealt with you? These first five verses are packed with exhortations regarding how we ought to always be doing all we do unto the Lord. Do it unto Him. And in the rest of the psalm are all these examples of God's greatness, of His faithfulness to His people, of His protection of them, of His favor upon them, His love and blessing of them. Through many circumstances, through many troubling circumstances, through bondage, through great fear. But these first five verses tonight, in just these few verses, we're told to thank God, call upon Him, make Him known, sing to Him, talk about Him, glory in Him, rejoice in Him, seek Him, and remember Him. And the first general observation that we have to make here is that you can't have a casual relationship with God. You can't just be kind of interested in God. You can't just be an occasional worshiper of Him. If you think you are, you're not a worshiper of Him at all. Do you see that about these first five verses? Rejoice in Him, seek Him, thank Him, talk about Him. It's all about Him. That's the title of the message now. All about Him. The very nature and character of God, as well as all of the great things that He's done that He cataloged here concerning the nation of Israel, a picture of His people, His elect, all of who He is and what He's done demand that we be utterly taken up with Him. And that's the exhortation here in these first five verses. Just be taken up with Him all the time. Rejoicing in Him, talking about Him, thanking Him, praising Him, glorying in Him. God is not someone that you just need to have in your life. He is a life changer. He is the life giver. People say, well, you need God in your life. No, you don't. No, you don't just need Him in your life. It's way beyond that. If you can even say that, you don't know who He is. Somebody you went to high school with, maybe, and got along with, you know, and shared some moments with, or had some common struggles with, you might just keep in touch with over the years and keep them in your life. But somebody who gives you every breath you breathe, it's not like that. Somebody who gives you every good thing that you have or ever had. Someone who saved you in every way that a man can be saved. You don't just stay in touch with. We've got to give Him thanks in everything, the Scripture says, in everything. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20. For everything. Now, if this is just a point in a sermon to you, it won't be a very memorable one. But when you realize, when are we going to realize, and I mean realize it in such a way that we don't forget it 2 minutes from now, that everything we have is from God. When are we going to realize that finally? When is it going to sink in that we owe everything to God? Somebody might say, well, God is important to me, but so is my family. Do you know where your family came from? Do you know where they're going? Somebody might say, well, God is important to me, but my job has to take some priority in my life. Do you see that that's the wrong way to look at it? Do you know why you have a job, where it came from, and why it was given to you? It's time we knew that. And call upon Him, David said. Call upon Him. Thank Him for all that you have, and call upon Him for all you need. If everything you have came from Him, then when you need something, where are you going to go? We call Judas an absolute blithering idiot for selling the Son of God for 30 pieces of silver. And yet we see people doing the same thing every day. Have you ever? Nobody in their right mind would not say he's an idiot for doing that. You think about that. You remember what it says in Matthew 26:15? Listen to this about Judas. He left the one who made everything now, the one who said the silver is mine and the gold is mine, all of it. The cattle on 1,000 hills is mine. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, everything. He left him and went to the world and said, what will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? If you give me enough, I'll deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And we say we would never do that, never in a million years. And yet I see people all the time move away from the gospel because they need or think they need what this world has to give. Don't quite need God as much as I need that job. That's just one example now that seems to come up a lot because I see it constantly. You think God can't provide for you where his gospel's preached? Is that what you think? When you need something, call on him. Trust him. Not this world. Not your circumstances. Not your own imagined resources. You don't have any. Everything is in his hand. And everything you have comes from him. And everything you're going to have is going to come from him. Call upon him. Trust him. Rely on him. In faith, commit yourself to him. And that's what it means now. Do you know what it means to be committed unto him? That is to be in a position and to know yourself to be in the position of utterly relying upon him alone. I'm talking about burning every other bridge and holding up your hand to God. Say, Lord, I'm yours. If I perish, I'll perish at your feet. And if I thrive, it'll be by your great mercy and grace upon me. That's what it meant when you were lost, wasn't it? You believers, and this is written to you. When you first knew your need of the Savior, when you realized that you were sinking down to hell and there was one that could lift you up. You were dying and helpless and there was one that could heal your soul. One who could forgive your sins. One whose righteousness was sufficient in which to stand before God. One whose precious blood redeems all that he shed it for. What did you do then? You called upon the Lord. You committed your very soul unto him. Paul said, I've committed, and I know he's able to keep me. I'm persuaded. That's what this is now. Do that now, too. You need him just as much tonight as you did that night. We need him every hour. Call on him. Call on him. And then thirdly, David said, let everybody know. Let everybody know that everything you got came from him. And that your hand, was it Abraham that they said, you know, we'll give you all this stuff? And he said, keep it. My hand is lifted up to God. Don't need it from you. We know that the Lord uses means, but that situation that he was in, it taught us something, didn't it? Our hand, no matter where it comes from, is lifted up to God. Everything we need is in his hand to give. He said, tell everybody that. Make it known now. Make it known. Don't let anybody think for a second that you rely on this world. Make it known and let them know that it's the same for them, whether they know it or not. They're mercy beggars at the feet of Christ. Just tell them what our Lord said. Listen to Mark 5:19. You remember that man who was possessed with many devils? And the Lord, you talk about saving somebody. He was full of devils, so much so that everybody was scared to even come around him. I've known a couple of people like that, haven't you? Scared to even, I don't even want to go around you. I don't even want to be in the same room. Just scary evil. And God saved him. And made him, told him to sit down, put some clothes on, and gave him his right mind. And here's what he said to that. That man said, I'm coming with you. And the Lord suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. That's what David's saying here. Make it known. Make it known to everybody. Don't ever let anybody think for a second that you depend on anybody but God. And don't ever let anybody doubt that everything you have came from Him and how greatly He's blessed you. Oh, they're going to make, a lot of people make fun of you for it. But we are what we are by the grace of God. And I don't care who knows it. Let everybody know that you were saved by Christ alone. That He picked you out of a multitude of worms. And He picked you the worst, most wretched, stinky, vile, slimy worm in the pile. So that all the glory would be His. So give Him all the glory for it. Let everybody know that your only hope before God, and it's a good one, it's a sure one, is that the Son of God shed His precious blood for your sins. That's my hope now. That's not my chance. That's my hope. That's not my opportunity. That's my salvation. Nobody can condemn me. Not any devil in hell or any sinner on earth. And even God Himself can't condemn me. Because why? Because it's Christ that died for me. Tell everybody that. Let everyone know that you are what you are simply and purely by the grace of God Almighty. Whatever that is, let everybody know that you are only righteous before God in Christ Himself, who is Himself the Lord our righteousness. All of my works, all of my best works, are nasty, filthy, stinky rags in God's sight. But I stand before God in Christ, my great high priest. Let everybody know that you got your job from Christ and that you work ultimately for Him. Let everybody know that Christ gave you your home, your family, your children, your wife or husband, everything you have. Don't forget these two words as you go through this life from that verse right there. Make known. Make known. Don't forget that. Make known. Known how wonderful He is. Verse 3, glory in Him. Glory in Him. Paul said in Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. You know why it says that? Don't glory in your wisdom, your strength, your anything. Because that's what we typically do. The mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. No. That's typically what men do. We glory in ourselves. But Paul said, don't let me glory in anything but Christ and Him crucified. By whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. And that's important context there. Because think about that. It is because of Christ crucified that it is impossible for me to glory in this world. It's dead to me. Because He died and rose again. Glory in His holy name. You see that in the text? Glory in His holy name. The name is the character of God. The person of God. You see, when people say God loves everybody, it's His holy name that they're defiling. They're saying God loved that, you know, you'd go to heaven or hell, but God loves you. Christ died for everybody. That's His name you're defiling when you say that. You're defaming Him in His holy name. Because if God loves you, you loved. And love's not just Him wishing the best for you. God's love is you have every blessing He has in Christ. And His precious blood don't make things possible. It gets things done. His blood is effectual. So they're defiling His holy name when they speak like that. Let's glory in His holy name. Boast of Him as the Lord our righteousness. Our only righteousness before God is Christ alone. Boast in Him as the crucified Redeemer of sinners. My Redeemer actually redeemed all of His people with His precious blood. Every single sinner that He shed His precious blood in order to redeem, He obtained eternal redemption for them. That's glorying in His name, His character, His attributes. Boast of Him as the Lord who provides, Jehovah Rapha. Abraham said, God will provide Himself a lamb. And He did. Brag on Him as the Almighty God who does as He pleases, when He pleases, with whom He pleases. Then we're exhorted also to rejoice in Him. Let the heart of him rejoice that seeketh the Lord. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. And I want you to look at the context of that verse because I thought it was interesting. Philippians 4. Let's turn over there this time. Philippians 4. Look at the context of this. This verse seems out of place. Seems like it's just interjected in there randomly. Look at verse 3 of Philippians 4. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, those who are fellow laborers together with the saints, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 4 just kind of seems like it's just stuck in there randomly, doesn't it? But it's not. It never is. Think about this. Rejoice in the Lord, delighting, helping others, rejoicing in the Lord to do it. When you help these women, do it cheerfully, gladly, delighting that you're able to help. It's by God's grace that you're able, and knowing that it's His grace. It ought to make your heart glad that you're able to do something for them. Oh, and here, rejoice in the Lord. It ought to make our heart glad that we're able to do something for Him. He said, when you've done it to these, when you help them, you're helping me. Can you imagine that? You talk about rejoicing in the Lord. He's given us freely and abundantly all these blessings that He's given us and allows us the great privilege of giving something to Him because He first gave to us. And then He blesses us for doing it. Rejoice in the Lord. You see how it's in the context. Rejoice as you are moderate. He said, let your moderation be known after that verse. Rejoice in that, to deal appropriately, equitably, fairly, to be reasonable, to be humble, to be gentle with people in all things, to just act right toward people. May that be what makes us happy. You know what makes most people happy? When they can take advantage of somebody. Isn't that right? You find that to be so in this world? They're not happy unless they're getting it over on somebody somehow or another. Let your moderation be known and that you rejoice in the Lord. And here's the soul of this, the heart of this verse now is this. Those who are not moderate are proud, harsh, taking advantage of people, and it always has to be about them. It's always about them, and that's what it boils down to, it being about you. Rejoice in the Lord, not you. That's how you'll be moderate. If he's your joy, he's your happiness, and not yourself. And then back in our text, he said, seek him. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek him. And seek him. Seek him. Seek. What is it to seek the Lord? What's to seek his will? Wouldn't you say? To seek his will in all things. We talked about this Sunday morning. We have his will, generally speaking, revealed to us. People just say, oh, I just want to do God's will. And then they deliberately run from every revealed aspect of God's will in this book. They act exactly contrary, and all the while saying, I just want to do the will of God. Well, find out what his will is then. But in specific things. Here's an example. We know that it's God's will to honor his son in this world. It's why he has a world. Okay? Let us seek his will, though, and how specifically we can do that. What can I do today to honor Christ? And what about this decision I'm about to make? A or B? Which one honors him? Which one honors him the most? Let us seek his will. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 7:14. Just listen to me for a second. Seek his will. Seek his face. Seek his face. You ever thought about what that means? If my people, which are called by my name, is that you? Then listen up. God has a proposition here. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Can we get in the dust? It kind of feels like home, doesn't it? Where we belong. I belong in the dust. It shouldn't be real hard to get in the dust for us. And pray. And seek my face. And turn from their wicked ways. Oh Lord, turn us and we'll be turned. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Seek my face. What does that mean? Seeking the face of God is to desire nothing more than his presence and his favor. He said, I'll cause my face to shine upon you and give you peace. If that's your greatest desire, to have the light of the countenance of God shining upon you, then you're seeking his face. Is there anything you want more than that? If there's anything you want more than the presence, blessing, and favor of God, than the shining of God's face upon you, then not only are you a godless wretch, you're a fool. Because you prefer something over that which above all else is to be prized. To seek his glory, to seek the Lord is to seek his glory. Paul said, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you're doing, do it for his glory. And if you can't do it for his glory, then don't do it. If this were our constant motive, and again, you can't casually worship God. You can't occasionally seek God, and you can't just in a shallow and intermittent way serve him. His character just doesn't allow for that. You're just going to have to be sold out to him, or you're going to have to go your way. It's going to be one or the other, because if you think, well, you know, God is important to me, but other things, you know, then God's not important to you. You've just fooled yourself. Seek his glory. If that were our constant motive in everything, how different would our lives be? And then finally tonight, we just have to look at these five verses tonight, and I don't know if we'll look at the rest of this psalm in particular or just remember the glorious things that are described therein, the salvation of God, of His people. It was all through their lives, wasn't it? Salvation, not a one-time thing. It's if God be for us, who can be against us? And if He's for you, He was for you before you were born. He was for you the day you were born. He was for you the day you met Him. And He'll be for you the day you die. And 10,000 times 10,000 upon and thousands of thousands of years from now, He'll be for you. Salvation is God all in for you. That's why we got to be all in for Him. it just isn't God. It's just not of God. That's just the way He does things. He does it towards you and He does it in you. But finally, David says this, remember. Remember. How many times in this book are we exhorted to remember? Here's why. Because we forget. The first reason we're exhorted constantly to remember is because we forget. And the second reason is this, because remembering will affect all that we do. Remembering Him will make us thankful. Remembering Him will cause us to glory in Him. Remembering Him will cause us, it'll bring out our hearts in gratitude and in prayer to Him and all these things. We'll sing to Him. We'll sing His praises. We'll talk about Him. We'll make His glory known if we remember. If we remember. That's why the Apostle Peter said, I think as long as I'm in this flesh, I think the thing for me to do is to just keep putting you in remembrance of these things. I kind of feel like that too. Let's just keep remembering together. If we remember, we'll sing, we'll seek. Remembering is more than just not forgetting. Remembering is acknowledging God in all things and honoring Him for who He is and for what He has done for us. That's what he's doing in the rest of this psalm. He's remembering all the great things that God had done for His people. And remember this, there's a good time to remember and there's a bad time to remember. What's a good time to remember, Chris? Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. How can there be a bad time to remember? Lazarus sat at the rich man's gate, and Lazarus was a child of God, but he didn't have much in this life. And that rich man had everything in this life, but he had no hope. He had no use for God. Had no use for his gospel. And even as it's revealed there in Luke chapter 16, even after he died, he didn't think much of the gospel of Christ. Do you remember that? Because the prophet said to him, you know, the man who was in hell, the rich man who lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments, he said, Father Abraham, send somebody back from the dead to go tell my brother, to warn my brothers. If somebody comes back from the dead, they'll believe. And Abraham said, they have the law and the prophets. They have God's message concerning his son, Jesus Christ, which was preached from the beginning. And he said, no, but send somebody back from the dead and that'll impress them. That'll impress them. No use for God's gospel when he was alive, and no use after he was dead. And it says in Luke 16:25, Abraham said to that rich man in hell, son, remember. Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and never once thanked God. Which is the very first thing in our text. Never once thanked God for what He'd given you. Never once sought Him for what you needed. Never once glorified Him. Everything in our text, never. But now remember that. And Lazarus, his evil things, but now he's comforted. Because his comfort now is the same one who was his comfort then. The Lord Jesus Christ. And thou art tormented. We come to the Lord's table in remembrance of him. As often as you come, he said, do this in remembrance of me. When we worship, like tonight, I pray that God has and will enable us to worship. When we worship, among other things, it's a memorial service, isn't it? It's a memorial of our Savior. David said in Psalm 103:2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget all his benefits. David knew he was prone to do that. We know that about ourselves. Don't forget, my soul, don't forget. Don't forget all of his blessings. And the more you remember, the more you'll bless him. Deuteronomy 6. I just want to read that and we'll be through. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. As I read the Lord saying to these people all of the things that he's done, as we saw in our psalm, the great things the Lord does. Think about your life. Think about all that the Lord has done for you, whether you knew it then or not. You know it now, don't you? Because we're not just looking at history here. This is the God that we serve. This is the God who was for us before we ever knew him. This is the God who, even when we were in bondage, his hand was upon us. This is the God who has followed us all through this life with his pillar of fire and his pillar of cloud. Deuteronomy 6:4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words, what do we say? The first thing we said tonight, you can't just kind of worship God. You can't just kind of, you know, want him in your life. All your soul, all your heart, all your might. And these words, verse 6, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. This is the covenant of grace. It's not just going to be on tables of stone. I'm going to put it in your heart to love me like that. If he left it up to you, it's not going to happen. It never has and it never will. And thou shalt teach them, verse 7, diligently unto thy children. You know, that just kind of happens for me because my children are all here and they've been... all of their lives, they've heard me preaching. It's not just going to happen at your house, is it? It's not just going to happen for you. Now, bringing them here, that's important. But you've got to be their example. Teach them diligently unto thy children. You've got to be their example and their teacher in every way. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when you lie down, you see, that's why I call this, it's all about him. And when you rise up, it's about him. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. Why? Why is all that necessary? Because we're going to forget if we don't. Unless we're diligent about it. Unless we give diligence. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates, verse 9. Verse 10, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest you forget. You see that? That's why you've got to bind it on your hand. When you go to sleep, think about him. When you wake up, think about him. Glory in him. Thank him. All the exhortations in our text. Speak of him in your house. Speak of him in the way. Speak of him to your children. Speak of him to everybody you love, because he's their only hope. Beware lest you forget the Lord. Oh, I could never forget the Lord. Oh, you know, surely you know better than that, don't you? By God's grace, I know a little bit about how easy it is for me to forget. Which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You know what that says in spiritual language? Don't forget the one who saved you. He saved you. He pulled you out of the fire. Don't forget him. Thank him. Seek him. Call on him. Talk about him. Glory in him. Remember him. May we never forget as a church how that the Lord has brought us where we are and provided for us abundantly, has blessed our lives together. Thank God. Let's pray.